Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks very much for taking part in the interview today. I'm very pleased that two people who have been doing extremely exciting work are going to be joining us today, Luke Martin and Louise Sheridan. They're responsible for communications for Walking for Health, which is a Ramblers program with gentle walks, normally about an hour or less. And Luke and Louise have been responsible for developing and running a series of campaigns that have engaged, we're going to find out probably more, but somewhere over about 10,000 people, from what I understand, who've been interested in taking part in walking groups. And Walking for Health have used Facebook's age and interest targeting to show their ads to exactly the right audience, focusing mostly on people in England aged 50 plus. And as part of this, they've even been working to engage a particularly hard-to-reach group as part of that work, those who are likely to be living with cancer, which they're focused on because they're funded by Macmillan Cancer Support. So during the interview today, we're going to be talking about Walking for Health's experience with Facebook ads, how they managed to engage over 10,000 people who want to take part in walking, the processes they use, and why Facebook ads might be the biggest opportunity that you're actually missing out on right now. First, before we get into that, a quick word from our sponsor today. Today's interview is sponsored by Make Sport Fun. Are you frustrated with engaging inactive people into your activities? And do you ever end up reaching active people and they take part more rather than the inactive people that you really want to reach? Do you ever find that people say they want to get active, but then when you put the activities on, they don't turn up? And are you expected to do the marketing for your activities, but your background's in sports development or public health, not in marketing? If so, Make Sport Fun is here to help. Make Sport Fun offers a range of services to help you engage more inactive people into your activities. Whether you need someone to run a campaign or a training workshop to show you how to use social media or other digital techniques to engage more inactive people from hard to reach groups, or if you need someone to conduct some research into your target audience or someone to train sports clubs or leisure centres in your area, whatever you need, Make Sport Fun can help. We've worked with over 100 organisations in sport and activity, and we've got an average feedback score from clients of 9.2 out of 10. We're the only marketing agency who specialises in engaging inactive people from hard-to-reach groups. So whatever your needs, just get in touch. You can email me, john@makesportfun.com. That's John, J-O-H-N, at makesportfun.com, or I'll explain at the end of the interview how you can book a call directly into my calendar. Okay, so that's that part done with. So Luke and Louise, thanks both very much for coming on the call today.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Great. So let's start back at the beginning. Walking for Health's amazing program. Can you give everyone a really quick overview of what it is?
Yeah, sure. So, Walking for Health is...
Oh, Luke, you're coming through echoing a bit there. Are you guys both in the same room?
Yes, we are.
Ah, right. Sorry,
Louise is on mute that. Now, so that should be okay. Can you hear me better
all
now?
Good. Yeah.
Great, okay.
All good.
So Walking for Health is an evidence-based program of short group walks that take place in communities across, as you say, they tend to last between around 15 and 90 minutes. The idea is that they are accessible to pretty much everybody, but with a target of people with health conditions, inactive people. We have around 80,000 walkers over the course of a year, and there are something in the region of 1,800 weekly walks run by around 375
wow.
schemes.
That's huge. Okay. That's enormous. So why do you think it's so popular? Why has it been something that has been taken on so much by local authorities and other local schemes?
I think really it's so popular because it is accessible to everyone, and we make a real point of that. You know, as Luke said, it's people with the lowest levels of fitness, or maybe if you are undergoing or recovering from treatment for cancer, or you have another long-term health condition, we make sure that there are volunteers who are sort of specially trained there to support people and encourage them. It's free, which means that there's no off-putting kind of commitment or membership requirement for people, so we can engage them. And, you know, if you are someone who's quite inactive, then it's not so daunting. We're asking you to make quite a small change. Come on a short walk with us and we'll help you do it. And so I think that is why, you know, so many people want to do it and why local authorities and other organisations recognise that it is a good activity offer. It's also sociable. It's not just about physical activity. It's about much more than that. You know, lots of people we speak to say that they come more for the sort of sense of community and the friendships that they develop as they than they do for the physical activity and the health benefits. So there is a kind of dual element to it as well. And more importantly, I suppose, is that it actually works. People see a noticeable improvement in their fitness and in their well-being and their happiness and their mental health as well. So
I've definitely seen that. I've seen where people turned up because they thought, oh, it's a health walk, I'm going to turn up because it's something good for me, and then they've stayed because it's sociable and it's friendly and everyone has a cup of tea afterwards, which is really interesting to see. And I think that's one of the things about it which is kind of special, you know, that a lot of activities are a bit more formal, and this is something where it has got a really good sociable element to it, and there is a lot of people who do meet up for a cup of tea afterwards, and I think it's just, you know, a fantastic scheme, really, really good.
Yeah. Something I should say as well, sorry John, is that it is supported by 8,000 volunteers across the country as well, and without their contribution, nothing much would happen, so should have said that at the start.
Yeah, I suppose that's true as well, isn't it? Of course, that's such an important part of it, is how many volunteers have got passionate about it and have got involved and are making it happen on a regular basis, which isn't something that you get in a lot of different activities. So, yeah, that's true. I've never really thought about it that way. I knew there were volunteers leading it, but it's never really struck me before, I suppose, just how many there were and you know, how come so many of them got involved. So one of the things that, probably a lot of people listening in to the call today run Walking for Health groups or they're involved with it in some way. Probably not a lot of them are using Facebook ads in the first place. So I know that's been like really a big deal for you guys and it's been really powerful and you've got great results from it. What made you decide in the first place to try it out?
To be honest, I sort of arrived into this role and there was some ongoing digital marketing activity that Macmillan were doing on behalf of the program, obviously aimed at people living with cancer. And what they were doing was a sort of multi-channel process where they worked with pay-per-click, Google Ads, with those kind of cookie-based ads that follow you around the internet. And also had put a small amount of budget into doing some Facebook lead generation. And what we found with this campaign, which took place over summer, was that whilst pay-per-click and the cookie-based ads were delivering in some areas, certainly from an SEO perspective, presumably from a brand awareness perspective, what Facebook lead generation was doing was really driving media engagement. So we were finding that, leaving aside the fact that it was generating leads that you could develop a relationship with, what it was also doing was delivering website click-throughs, it was delivering actions on the website, it was increasing our Facebook presence, it was delivering more followers and more comments, more engagement on our page. All those measures that show an engaged audience were coming through on Facebook. And then, of course, it was delivering leads where we could build a relationship with somebody, where we could follow that journey. And It was only a small amount of budget that had gone into Facebook initially, but it gave us hope that it's something that we could take on, we could refine, and essentially something that we could then give back to those service providers, those groups that are working locally, within local authorities, within other charities, something that we could cascade to them and help them do things at a local level.
And have you been doing much? I don't know if you did or are, but were you doing much offline, like anything with, you know, posters and leaflets and billboard advertising or anything else like that before?
To be honest, not really. So there'd been major campaigns associated with Ramblers Macmillan and Walking for Health, such as our publication of our Walking Works document sort of a year or so before that, which included a lot of evidence for the benefits of walking. And so there was a concerted push around that. What our role is as a national program is to support independent schemes, or again, those schemes running local authorities and so on, to do their own promotional work. So there would have been, you know, lots of print-based activities, but not at a national level, that we realized that, you know, that probably wasn't the right thing for us. Obviously, you know, it was only a couple of years ago, so we knew the value of social, and it was something that we'd always emphasised within our marketing plans.
And I'd said back at the beginning that number 10,000. I don't know if we've ever really discussed that. I know I'd seen some of the original campaigns you guys had done, and there was like a few thousand people that got involved, and I kind of extrapolated out and tried to make an estimate. Does that seem about right? Do you know how many people you've engaged through your campaigns in total?
Yeah, sure, we do. And it's more than that, which is great, including some all the national and regional adverts we've done since January 2017. It's actually more than 22,000.
Wow.
Which we're really pleased with, of course. And they're people who have actually responded to the adverts and given us their contact details. But the adverts also have a combined reach of more than 500,000. So that's 500,000 people who will have seen our branding, our messaging, who maybe haven't taken that step to actually become fully engaged yet, or haven't taken the step to sign up yet. They may have gone on to a walk through a different channel, or they might just have an awareness of the program now, which they wouldn't have had before. So as well as generating those leads, obviously the adverts have that kind of added value of just, you know, boosting your brand awareness. And we've seen that, as I think Luke was saying as well, we have seen that across, you know, we've got more Facebook likes now. We've seen a massive kind of year-on-year improvement in the number of new Facebook likes we're having, which I think is down to the lead gen largely. We're having more Facebook engagement, more website sessions, basically just engaging people across a whole range of different channels. And what we do, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here, but in terms of what we do after we generate that kind of first expression of interest from them, is we subscribe them to an automated series of 7 emails. So everyone receives a series of emails which kind of, you know, aim to move them along through a journey from contemplation to being more active. And each email they receive contains a kind of personalised URL directing them to their nearest walks on our website, in our walk finder. Each email will address a kind of requirement for activity in our theory of change. So whether that's motivation, knowing that it's something that they should do, whether it's confidence, feeling it's something they can do. So us making the point that they're short walks and that, you know, anyone is welcome. Accessibility, the fact that it's free. Suitability, the fact that it is, again, suitable for them and for their level. So in terms of how we're engaging people, you know, we've managed to engage a considerable number of people, and we're trying to do it in a way that isn't just a kind of one-off touch. We're trying to take them with us on a journey, which makes them more likely to become active.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, because you look at like what most people working in sports development or public health want to do is they really want to reach the hardest to reach group. So not only those people who have maybe got a long-term health condition, or it's, you know, women or over 55s, but also those who aren't quite ready to get active yet, not just the low-hanging fruit, but the people who, like you say, are down at the contemplation step in the stages of change model. And having those emails means you've got a way of kind of gradually supporting people over time to move through those different stages and keep giving them the opportunity to go and take part in a walk at each stage. How long do those 7 emails go out over? What's the kind of the gap in between each of them?
So we set it up, I think from September onwards, from this year onwards, we set it up so people receive an immediate email, which we did using LeadsBridge, which is something you can use to link your Facebook adverts to your MailChimp. So now, as soon as someone signs up, they get an email, an immediate one, without that personalised link, but just kind of thanking them for their expression of interest and saying, we'll be in touch soon. And then we download their information and we create the personalised link, we upload it all to MailChimp, and then they receive, so this will be maybe a day after or a couple of days after if it's over a weekend, then they'll receive the first email saying, you know, here's your nearest walks, a bit more about the scheme, about the programme, here's why we'd like you to come along. And then after that, they receive one email every week, and that goes on until the final email, which is a survey which asks people whether or not they've attended a walk yet. Once a week is how often they get the emails. And we've recently sent a follow-up email to some people who responded to adverts in September and October, asking them, again, whether or not they've been on a walk, and also asking them, we're trying to do a bit of work to find out whether our adverts were reaching people with long-term health conditions, which we're pleased to say they are. But we have sent them an email, a subsequent email later on. So you've also got that option to follow up later on, you know, as long as you've covered that in your kind of data protection statement, your privacy policy that you share with people when they respond to your adverts.
Right. The kind of thing, I mean, obviously we haven't done stuff on the scale that you guys are talking about nationally, the 22,000 leads, but we've done a lot of work using this very similar process with a lot of local authorities. So Hounslow and Redbridge, and we're working with Pubs for All in Scotland, which is kind of similar to Walking for Health. It's other, walking groups up there. And we've found that we're getting either hundreds or sometimes thousands of people signing up for taking part in these walks. So this is, this is something that we've definitely found we're getting, amazing results from as well, this using the Facebook ads to get people to sign up. I think in Redbridge, we just ran a campaign in January. We had 310 people sign up, something around 310, 320. And in Hounslow, we've had 1,200. And we ran a campaign with Pubs for All in Scotland, and we had various different groups. I think between them, something around 400 or 500 people sign up. So, really, big numbers. And like you're saying, the reach of this as well, the number of people who see the ad and who hear about the scheme is way bigger even than that, and you also get, like you're saying, people clicking through to the website, people clicking through to the Facebook page. We get people who haven't signed up through Facebook but come along anyway, and we know that the numbers, tend to go up whenever we've just run a campaign outside of just the ones who signed up through Facebook as well. So, anybody who's listening who's thinking whether this could work for your local walking groups or even other, activities that you're running, the results from this are extraordinary. It's a really exciting approach. It's something that's really, really effective. And was I right in saying earlier that you're mostly been focused on over 50s and over 55s?
Yeah, that's right. That is an audience that obviously that our program works for, that our program appeals to. It's also an audience who are increasingly using Facebook to organize their lives, I think. So, whilst 5-10 years ago, it would have been unusual for that audience to subscribe to something through Facebook, right now we're seeing that, it's a really good time to engage people that way. We're also using, do you want me to talk a little bit about sort of targeting aside from the demographics as well?
Yeah, I think that'd be great, because people probably don't realize this is even possible. But in Facebook, you can target demographics, but you can also target these different interests as well. So it'd be great if you could explain to people what you guys have done with that.
Yeah, it really is quite incredible from a marketing perspective, because you have access as an advertiser to the way that everybody who uses Facebook uses Facebook. So you're able to really target people based on what they've engaged with, from things that they've liked, from things that they've had some kind of engagement with online. So what we've done is, it's not scientific, and I think there's ways that we can get a lot cleverer about this, and I'm sure other people are doing things that's even more sophisticated. But if we're looking at targeting people with a long-term health condition, because we know that the walks are going to be effective for those people, then you can use Facebook targeting to aim for people who've joined up to awareness groups, who've joined up to community groups based on the conditions that they've had. It's worth saying that you're not necessarily, you're not definitely gonna capture that audience, but that alongside the demographic targeting, alongside the type of images, the type of words that you use within the adverts themselves, means that you've got a really good chance of reaching a really relevant audience and the audience that you set out to reach.
Yeah, and we've found similar as well. We've done the campaign we ran in Redbridge in January. We focused on people with long-term health conditions, and the ability to target down to saying this is the particular audience that we're trying to focus on and that we're trying to reach has been really powerful. We ran, not a walking one, but we ran another campaign in Yorkshire to reach disabled people, so with various different disabilities, visual, hearing, physical impairments, mental health, learning disabilities, and the ability to run a different campaign for each of those. And then, like you say, also you change the language, you change the imagery, you change the offer sometimes to make it more appropriate, and you can get exactly the right audience signing up for it. It's extraordinary. Like the ability to target a hard to reach group like that, it's not really existed before. It's not something that used to be out there. You used to have, you get your leaflets and you go down, you try and find appropriate groups and give them out to them and hope that the people who ran the groups gave them to the people taking part in them. And it was a nightmare. This is just amazing what you can do in terms of that targeting. And to hear as well that you guys have managed to get that response to say you were managing to reach people with long-term health conditions. It wasn't just Facebook telling you you were, that it's actually the right people. It's like really good feedback as well.
Yeah, we in that survey we found 43% of people actually who responded to our adverts did have long-term health conditions, which in terms of reaching our target audiences is great. And that's, yeah, we're not speculating when we say that. We know that those people have self-reported as, you know, being having long-term health conditions. So we're very pleased.
Yeah, amazing. Now, Louise, you touched on some of this before, but I know that Luke had been kind of doing the day-to-day running of the campaign, and you'd taken it over. Can you, let's think, was there, do you think we've covered everything with what you'd said about the sign-up and the emails that go out to people, or is there any more detail you think you can kind of give people about how it works?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit more detail to go into, to be honest. I try not to bore you all for too long. Yeah, so if you have access to something like MailChimp, which means that you can automate your emails, that will make life a lot easier and kind of more like touch in terms of the ongoing input. And that's if you want to send people this series of emails to kind of move them along. If you didn't have access to something like that, you can obviously do it from an Outlook account as well. I know that obviously everyone works at different size organisations. And though we have found that to be really useful and we've used Leadsbridge to send that immediate email, this definitely is still possible to deliver without access to that kind of to those platforms. So I suppose one point would just be to say that that's the way we've done it, but this is flexible. It's something that you can scale up or down. Yeah, and we wouldn't want to deter anyone if they don't have access to those. In terms of kind of what you're doing day to day and the campaigns are running, there's two things really. There's monitoring the campaign and the adverts and making sure they're doing as well as they can. And then there's coordinating the emails, which is the other piece. In terms of monitoring the campaign, you know, once you've set up your adverts, you would ideally set up, you know, several of them at once to see which ones work best. And, you know, as Luke says, you'd play around with the images and with the wording, find out which messages and images, you know, work best for your audiences. And so what you can do is just really go into Facebook's ads manager every day and just see which ones are performing best, which ones are generating the most leads, which ones aren't costing, you know, the most cost efficient. And you can just, you know, deactivate them. And if you find one that's working well, you duplicate it. And that's quite low impact. Once you've become familiar with how to use Ads Manager, not at low impact, kind of low input rather, you know, that takes you, I don't know, 15 minutes at the beginning of the day to check how they're doing, maybe a little bit longer if you want to set up some new adverts. There's also a little bit of work to be done around replying to comments on the adverts. So people will quite often comment on the advert saying, sounds great, you know, where can I find one near me, rather than signing up. And so there's a bit of work to be done responding to them, or if they've got another query, if they're asking whether or not it's appropriate for someone who's had a hip replacement or whatever else it might be. So that can take a little bit of time, but I think is a really great way to engage with people. You're still giving them the information that they want, and potentially you're addressing you know, directly what their barrier to activity might be and offering them that reassurance. So that's something worth doing as well. And then in terms of, we've spoken about the emails. I mean, I can go into a bit more detail about what we do to sort of prepare the data for MailChimp, but I don't know if that's necessarily that interesting. Basically, we just download it and make sure everyone's got a bespoke link, and then we re-upload it, which is worth doing because then everyone gets the link that they need to the area that's nearest them. That was another point, actually. If you're doing it on a very local scale, if you're, say, if you're a local authority and you have a walking health scheme or another kind of another offer, you might not even need to do that step because you wouldn't have to come up with that bespoke link the way we do because we're advertising nationally. If you know that you're only recruiting, if you know that you only have one product that is relevant to people in that area, you can kind of cut out all of that admin. You just send everyone the same email because it's relevant to all of them. So if you did have access to something like MailChimp, you could set it up so that someone replies to an advert and they immediately get an email with all of the right information for them. So that would, in terms of your capacity, if you're, you know, really busy, you can potentially set this up so that it just kind of rolls on without you really having to put any more into it, which is great and something we've done for some of our regional campaigns, which has worked really well. I think that is it. Unless there's anything, any other questions you had, John, about the process behind it?
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, it's for everybody listening in, it's not probably enough detail for you to be able to go, right, I'm going to go start doing it. But it's kind of hopefully enough to give you an overview of how this works. If you've got what we found, we've done this with individual groups, like you're saying, and larger schemes as well. And if you're doing it with an individual group, you can make it really efficient for the individual person signing up, because they sign up and they instantly get back the details of the walk, and you can set it up so they get reminders about it as well. If you're running like a scheme of, you know, 8, 9, 10 or even more walks, and you want to run this, I think that the approach that you guys are taking and the one that we've been using of doing one ad for all of the walks and saying we're going to find you, connect you with your nearest walk is the right way to go. There's something that we do that we've had really good results with that I know is a little bit different to what you guys are doing. Is we've started using something looked like it cut out for a second there. It seems it's all right. We started using SMS messages, and this has worked really well for us in terms of engagement levels and the kind of conversion to percentage of people going and taking part. What we've done is people get the email instantly when they sign up, but then they also get a text message as well. And we found that the open rates on the text messages are enormous. Just almost everybody opens every text message that's coming through. And then we send the series. We do have the series of automated emails like you guys with, motivational messages and case studies and tips and things to kind of drive people who aren't ready yet to go and take part in the walk. But we also, for that initial message around giving people their nearest walk, is we text them the details of that walk. So we use a spreadsheet that has the details of all the walks, and then that mail merges into the text message system, so that if somebody signed up for walk A, they will get, and they've signed up, they've given us the postcode, and we've seen that they're nearest to walk A, they'll get all the details about walk A. So it'll say, you know, hi Bob, your nearest walk starts at the clock tower on the high street, it's on Tuesday, it's at 10 o'clock, Sam's leading it, arrive 10 minutes early so that you can fill in the form, we look forward to seeing you. If they are nearer to walk B, then they'll get a different text message saying, hi Bob, thanks for signing up for Walking for Health. Your nearest walk is starting at the Ox Pub, and Tim is leading it, and it's going to last for 45 minutes. And, you know, the details about that one as well. And that has been just brilliant for us. We've found about 60% engagement levels. So 60% of people who get that text message will reply to it and say, great, thanks very much for that, I'm going to go along. Or I can't make it this week, maybe I'll go next week. Or, you know, I've fell over recently and hurt myself, I'm not sure if it'll be right for me, can you let me know if you think it'll be okay? You know, all these, you know, can I bring my dog? All these different kind of questions with it. And then about 25% of people go along in the first month. We send that first text message, and then we send three reminder messages for the next 3 weeks, and then have the emails that go out after that. And that's worked brilliantly for us in terms of getting those people who are ready in those first few weeks to actually go along and attend. We actually had a campaign recently we finished running, and we stopped sending the text messages every week, and people started texting us to say, where's my reminder about the walk that's going on next week or what have you, to tell me where it is I need to go. So people love this kind of support. It's working really, really well. I think that kind of overview you've given of your process is really, really helpful. Can you say, like, do you think that Facebook ads is something that everybody listening should look into? You know, is it something that is right for some people, it's not for others? Like, or do you think it's like, you know what, no, this is what everybody who's running walking groups should be starting to use?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's still going to require a little bit of time, you know, a fair bit of effort. But if you've got clear goals about who you're trying to target, and you've got an activity and you're able to put that time in to deliver, you know, useful, informative responses to people who sign up, then absolutely, I can't imagine there's better mechanisms out there for engaging the audiences that we're looking at. You know, like with all social marketing, the beauty is that you can start small. You can do something really small, evidence it, refine it, and expand it if necessary. So, yeah, I reckon pretty much everybody should be looking into it.
I would just completely agree with that. I mean, we have found over the last year or so, 18 months, when we've been using Facebook ads, that they've just outstripped every other promotional method, you know, much, much, much better than posters and leaflets, but also better than other digital marketing techniques, because it's quite, straightforward might be a bit of an exaggeration, but it's doable. You know, you can take some training on this and you can learn how to do it and get results almost straight away. You know, we've got a one-day training workshop we run for people, and we've had people attend. By the end of the day, they've got their campaign written and put together. The next day, they start running it, and 2 days later, they've got the class filled up. You know, it's like that kind of time scale, whereas a lot of other digital marketing techniques, you know, something like, even like Google Ads, it's harder work to learn. The interface is less simple in terms of the basics for getting started. I mean, there's a ton you can do in Facebook that you can learn about, but just to get started, you can learn that and you can get going in a day. You know, that's totally possible, and the cost of this is reasonably minimal. You can do it with as small of a budget as you like. You can run the campaigns for as long or as short of a time as you like, and you can experiment with it and tweak it. I think it's just an awesome scheme. What would be your suggestions about somebody getting started? What would be your kind of starting point for somebody?
As I think like Luke's already said, the beauty of it is that you can start small. So even if you have, you know, you've got a small budget and you don't have loads of resource, that shouldn't be a barrier to you giving it a go. So choose a kind of trial area. So that could be, depending on the kind of scale you're working on, that could just be a few postcodes. Facebook allows you to target by postcode as well as by doing a kind of pin drop and setting a radius, you know, to determine the size of the area that your adverts go out to. So you could say try a budget of £50 and run adverts for a week or 10 days. And what I would say do is come up with, three or four different adverts that you want to run initially, and make sure that you vary your messaging across them. And I mean, presumably everyone that's running these adverts is working for an organization that has its own kind of key messaging, that has its own vision or, you know, statement about what it is and what it wants to do. But you can also borrow best practice from across the sector. So, you know, for example, looking at the Richmond Group's messaging, they've done some really good insight work into which messages work. So you can try playing around with those, seeing which resonate most with your audience and kind of putting your own spin on it. And, you know, using whichever photos you have, making sure that they're kind of nice professional photos of everyone having, looking like they're having a good time, engaging in some of the activity that you're trying to promote. And just set those up, set them running for a week or so, maybe 10 days, and just keep an eye on them. You know, make a note of which messages work best. If any of them do terribly, turn them off. Hone them for your next campaign, so make sure you're kind of recording all of that learning and putting it into practice next time. You can also try different, you can play around with different targeting, you can play around with different settings within Facebook. So if you're targeting a very small geographic location, this might not be so relevant. But if you are, say, you know, covering a bigger area, but you want to run, you want to try all different types of audience testing, you can do something called lookalike audiences within Facebook, where Facebook looks at the people who have responded to your adverts already and kind of puts together a profile of them and then targets similar people. So it does some of the kind of intelligence work for you. Or you can do the targeted audiences, which Luke was talking about, where you choose people's interests. And there's kind of a whole range of things that you can play around with as you get a bit more into it. And the same with the emails, you know, come up with a series of simple emails that address the barriers that might be stopping the people you're reaching becoming active. But come up with a couple of different variations and see which ones people respond to best, see what you get best engagement with. I think that would be just to start small and to learn as you go.
Nice. I think some of that stuff that you've covered there is definitely not day one things, but I think they're awesome suggestions of things you can do, you know, like the lookalike audiences. I think it's a little bit more advanced for a lot of people than some of the targeting. Some of the targeting's okay, I think, for getting started. The lookalike, I definitely would suggest to people.
No, that's a bit further down the road. No, you will, you will confuse yourself. I mean, I should also say that if you're thinking about it and you haven't used Facebook before, Facebook have some really good guidance around these things. You know, if you just put into Google, you know, how to use Facebook lead generation, Facebook's own business support center will take you through it really clearly if you're in need of support.
Yeah, I definitely suggest to people to get started with some kind of training if they're looking to do this. I mean, like I mentioned, we've got a training workshop about it. Facebook's got guidance on it. It's the kind of, there's pros and cons with those. Facebook's one is obviously great and it's free, but it's not specific to, you know, promoting walking groups or even promoting activity or reaching inactive people. So it kind of depends how broad your goals are and how limited your budget is and how much time you've got available for doing with it. But some kind of training, I think, is a really good idea for getting started.
Yeah, definitely. Facebook will take you so far, but there's definitely more nuance within, you know, what you're trying to do if you're looking specifically at trying to make people active. So, yeah, definitely, it's good to get other support as well.
So, one of the things that is available that we can, let me summarise first. So, I think there's a couple of things to take away from this call, from what we've been talking through. Facebook ads are incredibly effective at engaging inactive people from hard to reach groups. And that is something that surprises people sometimes. It's not the default assumption, you know, that you can use Facebook ads to reach over 55s and inactive people and women and girls and disabled people and those with long-term health conditions. But it does. It works brilliantly for that once you know what you're doing. So you can engage all these different hard to reach groups, inactive people, at all these different stages, even those who are more at the contemplation stage, and support them to get active and stay active over time. Really, really powerful, especially when it's used alongside things like the long-term email follow-ups as well. And you can use this to engage hundreds or even thousands of people into your activities. I mean, we've heard from Luke and Louise that they've had 22,000 people sign up through this, and that's nationally, you know, but you know, we've had a campaign in Bucks that engaged 3,000 people so far. We had the one in Redbridge in January. In 2 weeks, we had 300 people sign up. In Hounslow, in about 6 weeks, we had like 1,200 people sign up. So big, you know, big numbers. You can reach tens of thousands of people, and then a proportion of them will sign up and actually say, yeah, I'm interested. And they will be people who are, some of them are active, a lot of them are inactive, and a lot of them are at the contemplation stage, and they kind of need your help and support over time to get active. So it's really, really the exact audience that you're trying to reach. And people love this support. Like I said, you know, we get these text messages from people saying, thanks so much for the support with this. Thanks for sending the reminders and for helping me to get started. So we had one the other day from somebody. She said something like, I can't make it this week again because now I've got a trapped nerve, but please don't give up on me. And it's just, you know, you can have all of these really positive impact on people and supporting them to get started. And you can even automate some parts of it, because I know that you haven't got tons of time available with these things like MailChimp and autoresponders and what have you. So there's a couple of options of getting started. You can do it yourself, or what I'm actually offering today is a way of getting our help for free, a free strategy call to get you started and to kind of understand what's going to work best for you. So what you can do, like I said, there is this training from Facebook. There's one called Facebook Blueprint, which is really good, but it's quite in-depth and it's quite detailed and it takes a while to go through. So you can take that training and allow, you know, if you're going to go through the whole thing, probably, you know, weeks to go through it, because it's not going to be something that you're working on full-time. So one of my colleagues has been working through the Facebook Blueprint training, and she's been working through that for a couple of weeks and hasn't finished all of that. And she's taken various other Facebook courses before, because she does this full-time, Facebook ads. Then you've got a couple of weeks, I would say, in kind of setting up the systems, learning how to connect Facebook with SMS. You could use LeadBridge, you can use Zapier, LeadBridge is like Louise is talking about, we use Zapier. So learning how to connect those together and connecting with email systems, and then you've got to test your campaigns, and you're not guaranteed at the end of it that it's all going to work. So it's this amazing system, but you've got to figure it out. You've got to learn how to do it. And what I want to do is I want to give you the shortcut. So we've got a free strategy call. It's half an hour. It's to talk through about you and your project and your targets, and to help you understand what's going to work for you, so that you can get straight to the right part. You can go, right, this is how I'm going to use it. This is how it's going to be most effective. I'll give you case studies so that you can take that to your manager to get them on board if you need to. Other resources, contacts, research papers, what have you, whatever you need, so that you know where to go and get started. If after that you then want our help, then we've got a training workshop, or we can help you to get it set up. We've got an experienced team and proven systems. But this call is really just about helping you figure out, is this definitely right for you? Where do you get started? What's your best opportunity? And kind of what to do next. So to book your strategy call, this is for people who have got ambitious targets. So people mostly from councils or county sports partnerships or larger health charities. People are looking to get 200 or more people active in the next year. The way you book it is you fill in a feedback form, and I'll give you the link in a minute, and then you can book a time directly in my calendar. So as you can imagine, these calls tend to get booked up in advance because it's very helpful and the fact that it's free. So make sure you go and book that now straight away after we've that's going to be the next thing to do. So fill in the feedback form. I'm going to test this link and just make sure this is working. It's makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth. Let's just check that now. Yeah, that's working perfectly. And so you go to makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth. And what's going to happen is I think everybody should fill it in, whether you're going to book this call or not, because you're going to get a link to the replay of today's call. So you can refer back to this again later. And we're going to, everyone who signs up later on, we'll send you through other useful resources as well. So examples of case studies of other walking groups. We'll send you through any reports that come out about Facebook ads and Walking for Health. So it's just a lot of useful resources for everybody. So if you go there now, it's makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth and fill that in. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and then we're going to have a Q&A session. And we've got a few questions that people have submitted already, so we're going to go through those. So go and fill that in now. That's makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth. And then in 2 minutes, we're going to come back and do Q&A. Okay, just going to give it another 15 seconds, let people finish off filling that in, and then we will crack on with the Q&A session. Okay, so first question we've got here is from Andrew Lamb from Brighton Council. He's asked, how do we use social media to engage community groups when, as individuals, they are at different stages of change? Trying to figure that one out, Andrew. What do you guys think about that?
It's a really good and quite difficult question, really. I mean, what we've tried to do, I think, is make the adverts and the process appeal to as many people as possible that the program can appeal to, if that makes sense. Now, we've done that through a series of, I suppose, quite soft things. So the first one is we're not saying, sign up and you have to come on this walk. We're saying sign up to hear more information and using that as a launching pad for drip feeding more information to them and supporting people along that journey. And we sort of understand the motivators and the barriers that support or prevent people from joining an activity. So using that messaging to kind of take people forward hopefully captures people at a kind of pre-contemplation stage, but also gives other people the opportunity to go straight in and say, yeah, you know what, that's right for me. I can sign up here more, and it takes place just down the road. Essentially, you know, it's difficult, you know, capturing people at that pre-contemplation stage is always going to be a challenge, but through a combination of the right messaging and also making sure that, you know, it's relevant to them, again, going back to the use of imagery that actually works for people, you know, people can identify with it and say, hey, this is for me, and emphasizing the social aspects as well means that, you know, our walks are there, they're aimed at people who are inactive, who can most benefit from this kind of gentle physical activity, but people of all abilities come along because the social side keeps them coming back. So yeah, I don't have all the answers to that, and I'd be interested to know what you think about that, John, but I think that's our approach.
Yeah, I think what we can do with these kind of campaigns is we can engage people all the way through from contemplation, preparation, action, and maintenance. For anybody who's not familiar with it, it's the stages of change model, and it's something that Sport England are prioritising more and more nowadays, and it's basically something that's been around for quite a while, since kind of 60s or 70s, and it's a way of describing the steps that people go through when they're going to change one of their health behaviours. And pre-contemplation is people who aren't even thinking about the thing yet. What we do, I think, with Facebook ads and with other kinds of advertising is we get the message in front of people at every stage. We don't know what stage they're at before they sign up, but the people at pre-contemplation aren't going to sign up straight away because they're not ready for that. But seeing the message is another thing to nudge them to maybe move towards contemplation. So by running a campaign now and then another one in a month's time, we've got the chance of getting some of those people to move along to be to the contemplation stage, and then they can sign up. And then we've got the chance with our emails and with the text messages and the constant, staying in touch with people to gradually support people through all those different stages of change. And that's definitely what we're seeing, like, in our research and in our tests, is that people are moving at their own pace and they're moving through that. And what we found is over time, we've actually had a campaign where we ran long-term emails kind of over about 12 months. And we found over time, more and more people became active, until it gone up from about 25% of people got active in the first month, and it gradually went up to 38% by 6 months. And we haven't got the 12-month data in yet, but it's actually gradually increasing because we're supporting people in a way that's appropriate for them. So I think that this is a really powerful way of doing that, of supporting people at those different stages of change, Andrew. Okay, next one. We've heard from Linda, and she's asked, how do we engage with hard-to-reach groups through Facebook and social media? I mean, I think we've covered that quite a lot today, not to the level of detail that you'll need, Linda, to be able to actually run that campaign, but to understand that it is possible. It's basically through the demographic and the interest targeting in Facebook, which are complex, but they're learnable. You know, you can learn how to do it in a day, a day's training. So does that seem fair to you, Luke, Louise?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely very much agree with that. One of the great things about Facebook is that you do have the ability to, you know, to focus people in that kind of detail. I mean, we would just say another couple of small things, which is the same in any kind of communications, you know, thinking about who you're representing in your images. If you're using any case studies, you know, who are you showcasing? You know, it should be people from those groups. Something else we were discussing as well is, it's a little bit different, but just using, you know, local community groups to get your message spread even further. So that might not be quite the same as lead gen that we're talking about, but, you know, just thinking about how you engage networks on Facebook as well, to, you know, boost your brand awareness and reach those people in another way. It's good to reach people in as many ways as possible, and the more, you know, the more people are aware of you, the more they'll want to engage. But yeah, no, I think largely, you know, what John said is right.
Okay, Catherine Evans As I said, in North Somerset, the target groups for our health walks are generally the older population. Lots of previous insight has indicated they respond best to things such as newspaper ads and more traditional methods of marketing. Do you know the demographic of the people you engaged in the programme via Facebook? We absolutely do. Do you guys want to take that one on?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you get that information back, and we're seeing. I don't have the exact figures in front of me. You might be able to quote from your work, John, but we're seeing that if we're pitching the adverts to a group aged 55 plus, then actually the most common take up would be from people aged between 65 and 75. So it's clear, and they're also the ones coming out, you know, the cheapest cost per lead as well. So that group is absolutely there on Facebook, ready to be engaged.
Yeah, this is one of the things that has changed over the last, it's only the last couple of years. You know, we tried running campaigns 5 years ago to engage, maybe even only four, to engage over 65s in a campaign in Chichester. And the audience size was so tiny, it just wasn't worth it. It was working, but the audience was very small. Now, this is 2017 data, so it'll actually be higher than this, but 53% of 55 to 64-year-olds are on Facebook, and 41% of 65 to 74-year-olds are on Facebook. So people have got these, you know, their son's old iPhone 5S or something, and they've got Facebook app, and they want to see the pictures of the grandkids, and they've got Facebook, and they're the fastest growing group on Facebook over 55, and they are also the most engaged group on Facebook. So any research that had said that, you know, newspaper ads and more traditional approaches were what worked best, I'm sure that absolutely was true. But in the last couple of years, this has become way, way more effective. And the other benefits of Facebook ads with this are not just that you can reach this audience, but also that you can do it with a small budget. You can turn it on, you can turn it off, you can tweak things. Whereas a newspaper ad, that's much, much harder to do. Okay, Rob has asked, is there any current research for both the Walking for Health and Facebook ads that I could access? We've got various case studies, Rob. If you've signed up in that feedback form I gave you, makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth, then you are going to get links to those case studies with all of the details. What have you guys got anything else in terms of research?
So we've obviously been evaluating as we've been going along, and I don't know what Rob's relationship is with Walking for Health, but certainly if he's on our mailing lists, then that will be made available. And you know, what we're trying to do, going back to why we started using the adverts in the first place, what we're trying to do is enable this to be cascadable to the schemes that run walks locally. So that's really been our emphasis, is trialing local approaches, you know, learning from what you've been doing, John, and hopefully giving something to our schemes.
Now, if people want to sign up for that mailing list, maybe would you be able to email me the link for people to sign up, and then I'll send that out to everybody who's filled in that feedback form?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, so we'll get that out to everyone who's filled in the feedback form, so that everybody can get hold of this research as it becomes available. Okay, Jenna, great talk. Thank you. You're very welcome, Jenna. John, you mentioned that SMS were highly engaged with. What percentage of people responded to the SMS and expected a reply? Oh, difficult question. So 60% of people replied. What percentage then needed the response? I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm really sorry, because I don't do the responding to the messages myself. But I will find out for you, Jenna, and I will send you that information. Let me make a note, and I'm going to get a hold of that for you. Send details of SMS asking for questions. Okay. Hannah has said this has been really interesting. So thanks. No problem at all, Hannah. Just wondering if you think this could work for B2B. B2B isn't specifically one demographic we're targeting. I don't know. It can work B2B, but it depends who your audience is, Hannah. So if you can give us any more information on who your audience is, then we might be able to answer that. Have you guys tried Facebook ads for any anything more reaching different organisations?
No, we haven't done. We have, looked very much at individuals, and we've done it, done it for walkers and for volunteers. But in both instances, it's been about, well, when we've been targeting walkers, we do it using the kind of profile that Luke's talking about, people who have expressed an interest in health charities or in health organisations or support groups or anything like that. And then volunteers, we've done on a much smaller, localised basis, so we haven't actually targeted, we've just done it, people who might be nearby the walk. I'm just thinking about whether, kind of how you would make sure you were getting the right audience. You could try doing it through interests, but I think you'd have to do some work to do to make sure it was scientific enough to make sure you were hitting the people you wanted to be.
Yeah, we have done it for promoting these talks, actually. We have targeted people who are working in sports development and public health by looking at people who like certain pages on Facebook that we think only somebody working in the industry would like. And there are sometimes the ability to target by job title. So it very much depends, Hannah, as to who it is you're trying to reach. Hannah's just sent me some more information. She says we work with varied partners. The main organisations would be physical activity deliverers or potential funders. So I guess we need the decision makers in those organisations. I would suggest that actually using email or something, because you can make a list of who these people are, and just getting in touch with them, the more simple way would actually be more effective here. I think Facebook ads is when you're trying to reach a really big population and you don't know who everybody is and you want to just get the message out wide, it's fantastic. But what you're talking about, I think you probably are better off sticking to, email and phone and letters. Be my suspicion, Hannah. Okay, we've got one more, and then we will wrap up. So Charlotte Broadhead has said, we're having trouble recruiting Walking for Health leaders. How can we implement behavioural change to entice people to not just sign up, but also to become a leader? I haven't run any campaigns to get new Walking for Health leaders. Have you said you'd run something about volunteers?
Yeah, we have tried to do something similar with volunteers that has had some success, I think. Certainly, it's a higher price point per lead. And again, it wasn't scientific in what we were targeting. I think back to when we did it at a national level, we were looking at vague interest in sport and physical activity. It's a really difficult one, and I know that certainly within Walking for Health, often that behaviour change comes after people joining the group in the first place. So it's almost as though you've got to get people there, get them sold into the group, get them enjoying walking, and then they take that next stage. We've certainly got more work to do to actually recruit, fresh volunteers that don't have that prior relationship. I think there's something there. Unfortunately, we don't have the answers to that just yet. I know that Louise has tried to do something on a regional level, recruiting volunteers, so she can maybe say something about that now.
Yeah, I think we did it on a much more kind of much more local scale, working closely with the scheme coordinator. So, for example, we did some work in Chelmsford, working with scheme coordinator there. And where there is that kind of more local link, and there's someone who's able to ring volunteers and have a phone conversation with them, as well as the emails. And we haven't tried the SMS, but it sounds like they've been great for you. That, I think, proved to be quite successful. We are still awaiting the final results of that, because we're just waiting for it for there to be a long enough time for anyone to have completed the training and to have started leading walks. But definitely, if you use this as a way just of capturing interest, and then you have the ability to kind of build that relationship and do it in a more, a more personalised way. There's definitely the feedback from the scheme in Chelmsford was that had been really helpful, that people had definitely expressed an interest. Just need to do a bit more work to kind of shore up what the final conversion rate is. But I think we have done work other similar projects in other areas as well and had a similar response. So I would say that it is definitely worth trying, but just make sure, I think, that you have the capacity to do that personalised follow-up as well.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can see that if someone's going to go not just to go and join a walking group, but also to lead it, they're going to need a lot more one-to-one support, but maybe this is enough for getting the leads that you can then follow up with. Interesting. Well, I really look forward to hearing how that one goes, because I've had a few people ask me about that before. So that would be really fascinating. Well, guys, our hour is up. Thanks so much, Luke and Louise, for coming and sharing your experience. I know everybody really, really appreciates it. Thank you for everyone who has listened in. Thank you for your time and for your attention. And if you've got any questions after this, just drop us an email, john@makesportfun.com. If you haven't done already, make sure you fill in that that form so I know to send you through all the resources. That's makesportfun.com/walkingforhealth. If people want to learn anything else, any more about the work you guys are doing, should they get in touch, or should they go to your website, or where would you point people to?
They can get in touch with us. Yeah, that is, we're more than happy for anyone to get in touch with us. You know, it's good to talk to people. If anyone is anyone's having any other experiences, you know, we can all learn. So yeah, please do get in touch with us if anyone's got any questions as well.
Perfect. I'll send round your email addresses then to everybody.
Great.
Shall I?
Yeah, please do.
Perfect. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks again, everybody. And I look forward to catching up with you all again some point soon. We've had a couple of thanks already in the chat box. So thanks very much, everybody. And yeah, that's it. Let's call it a day.
All right. Thank you. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.